Hey guys, it's RJ.
And Angie.
And this is the Rich by Intention podcast. What's up, babe?
Nothing much. I'm good. I'm excited that we are releasing our new free guide today, as well as our new website.
Yes, we have a brand new website and a new cheat sheet to help couples get on the same page about money. This guide is for all couples or even singles that want to have the tools to help have better money conversations.
Yeah, you know, money fights are a leading cause of divorce, and our mission at Rich by Intention is to help couples work as a team so that they can win with money.
Yes. Speaking of money, we have a great guest today to discuss negotiating your salary.
While we were paying off our student loans, negotiating our salaries was key to help us increase our income so that we had more money to throw at our debt.
It allowed us to throw all our extra money at our student loans.
Increasing your income allows you not only to just pay down debt faster, but reach any money goals faster. So we're really excited to have Maggie Palmer, the CEO and founder of Pep Talker, join us on the podcast.
Yes, you're going to get real tips and tactics to use in your next salary negotiation, whether that is a promotion, a raise, or an outside job offer. She was a great guest, and we loved our conversation with her.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram at Rich by Intention for more money tips and inspiration. We are so excited to have you on the Rich by Intention podcast, Maggie. You are doing such great work in your space. And so for those who may not know you, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm so stoked to be here. So my name's Maggie Palmer, and I'm the founder of a company called Pep Talk Her. And we're on a mission to close the gender pay gap because it really, really sucks. And we know that women get paid less on average than men. And we know that that pay gap is even worse for women of color. And so, yeah, long story short, I had an experience of pay inequality back when I was a foreign correspondent. It really annoyed me. And so I wanted to try and fix it and figure out a way to kind of solve the problem. And so here we are today. We built an app, the Pep Talk Her app, which is free. You can download it. It's like a virtual brag book, and it'll prompt you to record all the successes you have at work. Because we know if you take data into those pay raise conversations, you're going to get much better outcomes. So that's what we do. And we run online courses now to support people to get raises and promotions.
That's great. You know, the gender pay gap is real, especially as, you know, me being a woman of color,
yeah.
You know, just having as many resources at my hands or at my fingertips about how I can initiate conversations about increasing my income are very important. So it's awesome that you've actually taken up this mantle and are leading the way in this work. So I kind of want to hear a little bit more about your background a little bit as a correspondent and, you know, how you really got involved into the work of just trying to decrease the gender pay gap.
Yeah, so I'm Australian, hence my accent, and I started my career as a journalist. So I worked in Australia, I worked in London for the BBC World, sort of all over the place for different networks, CNBC and places like that, telling stories. And it was such a privilege. Like, it's such an amazing job, and I loved it, you know, because you get to meet people at the highest of highs in their life when they win an Olympic medal, you know, when things are going well in their business. But also, it's a real window into the lowest of lows, right? When people's houses burn down, when people die, you know, journalists have such a privileged experience where we get to interact with people during those pivotal moments in their lives. So I traveled everywhere from Zimbabwe to Syria, interviewing, you know, Brad Pitt, Bashar al-Assad, and everyone in between. And at one point in my career, I found out that I was getting paid a lot less and had way worse conditions than the blokes who I worked alongside, who did the same thing, worked the same hours. And I thought you should say something, because my mum and dad raised me like, if you see something that's wrong, you should say something. And so I did, because I thought that's what you did. And it didn't go well. Let's just say that, Angie and RJ, it did not go down well. And my bosses were like, well, listen, Maggie, if you don't like it, why don't you quit or take us to court? And I was like, what? Because I was like, this is just unfair, you know, and injustice is kind of, you know, something that really, really irritates me. And I fight against that. And I thought that's what we're supposed to do as journalists. And for me, it was that moment where I guess it was like the blinkers had come off. And I was like, oh, This is the real world. Like, welcome, Maggie. You've arrived. Like, and so I just kind of was like, well, I have two options. I can just accept it or I can try and do something about it. And I just decided I couldn't kind of sit there and I just couldn't cop it. And I felt that I was in a position of privilege because I had a little bit of money saved. I really backed myself and I knew I'd get another job. And so I was quite happy to be the one to take up the fight because I know that a lot of people, you know, if you've got mortgages or kids to support, you can't, you know, not everyone's in a position where they can kind of take the adversarial position, which I did in that instance. And so, yes. So I fought it. It got a little bit messy. It certainly got very stressful. I found it quite anxiety inducing, albeit a first world problem. I appreciate that. But yeah, so now for me, it's like, I just want to help others avoid the stress and anxiety that I went through in terms of pay equality, right? And so it's really important to me that we shine a light on this issue and talk about it because as you know, Angie and Ajay, like financial freedom comes in many different ways, but one of the easiest ways that you can achieve that quicker and pay off debt quicker is if you earn more, right, in your job. And so I'm really passionate about it. And as I said, you know, the inequality that exists even within the pay gap, the fact that it is worse for people of color is something that really irritates me. And yeah, super passionate about figuring out ways to change it. Hence Pep Talk Her and excited to talk to you more about it today.
Yeah, no, I think, wow, I can't even imagine the stress or even like the what you felt in that moment when your bosses were like, hey, either you can get with us or basically get out and fight us, which is so crazy. And I'm sure there's so many women who are struggling with the same issues, right? Who are at a crossroads and trying to figure out what their next step should be because they aren't getting paid fairly. They're not being treated fairly despite all the great work that they're doing. And what's interesting to me is that like, I've read your bio. You have an amazing bio where you've interviewed some of the most notable people of our time. And to see that a woman of your caliber isn't being paid fairly is quite astonishing. And I think that's real for a lot of women who do great work. You know, we work so hard, we put ourselves out there, but we aren't compensated at the same rate.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to dive deeper into is like the moment that you found out you were being paid less, right? Like how did you find out? And what was that feeling that you went through at the time?
So it's so interesting, actually. I actually found out from another colleague who'd since left, who was kind of like giving me intel and being like, Maggie, he literally verbatim, he said to me, he said, you should have negotiated harder. And I was like, oh, like that hurt. I was like, what? Like when I heard that, I was like, oh, I felt like I'd failed myself. I felt stupid. I felt naive. I felt annoyed as well. And I'm like, part of that, I felt like I had to take some responsibility for that to an extent. And the reality is to pay people differently because of their gender is illegal, right? You're not allowed to do that in most developed countries under the legislation. But we know that it happens. I know that there's people listening to your podcast today, Angie and Ajay, who are like nodding going, oh my gosh, that happened to me. Because, you know, we have 60,000 women in the Pep Talk Her community and I get emails every week, right? And someone next to them just lets slip that they're buying a Tesla and the person's like, well, I can't afford a Tesla. How come you can? And they figure it out. Or someone finds a piece of paper on the photocopier and he's like, what? This is the payroll that my colleagues are earning? And so, yeah, that moment, it was someone else who told me. That's how I figured it out. Well, they figured it out and they told me, frankly. And so then I started to ask the right questions. And so I would say to anyone listening today, you know, one of the most powerful things that we can do is talk about money. When I was growing up, I was told that it was pretty rude to talk about cash and money. And that's just the way I was raised because my parents thought it was impolite and they wanted us to have good manners. So I didn't know that it was okay to talk about money. And so I kind of never really did. And so, but actually, knowledge is power and money's not a dirty thing. It's a wonderful thing and it gives us choice. And it allows us the ability to help support ourselves, our families, and make a difference for others, right? And so one of the things that you can do if you're kind of like, where do I sit on this salary range? Like, am I kind of being paid fairly? What I say to people is talking in ranges is really helpful. And you want to start talking about money with people who you love and trust, right? So your best mate, maybe your cousin, a sibling, something like that, right? Or you might have a BFF at work who you feel super, super chilled to chat to cat with them about their money and their salary. So instead of saying to someone, hey, how much money do you earn? I think a better way maybe to frame it is to say, hey, I'm applying for this new promotion. I was thinking I should be asking for like $60,000 to $65,000. Does that sound about right to you? Because then the other person can say, oh, hell no, you should ask for way more. Or, yeah, that's what I got when I got promoted 2 years ago. Or, to be completely honest, I'm paid a little bit less than that, but you have more experience, so you should go for it. You know, it kind of opens the conversation for people and they don't necessarily feel as pigeonholed or as awkward because other people might feel uncomfortable chatting about money too, right? So easing your way into it is a really great way. And of course, there's lots of websites that you can look up and we can share in the show notes as well a really great website that people can go to, a US government website actually, that where you can actually see what companies are paying different people and they have to report that because of the visas, right? So it's a visa website. So I'll give you the link to that so we can pop that in the show notes so people can have a look there as well. It's a really up-to-date resource, but having up-to-date data from your colleagues and understanding what they're earning in market, that's gold.
You know, I think that's really great advice to like just start the conversation and being more open about the salaries that each of us earn, because if we all share, you know, we're all able to be in the know and kind of help us, give us a baseline of where we should start negotiating our salaries. And so, you know, one of the things that I hear often is it's nerve-wracking, right? To actually put yourself out there and try to ask for more after you get a job offer. And so a lot of people, especially women, just don't even ask. You know, RJ and I, yeah. One of the things that we did while we were paying off our student loan debt, we got promotions at our jobs, or for RJ, he actually sought jobs outside of his organization in order to increase his income. And we both had to negotiate. We both had to take the initiative and put, you know, our salaries into our own hands, if you will, and really ask for more. But that can be a little daunting for a lot of people because it is scary because you're afraid yeah. that, you know, will they say uh-huh. no? And I even right. have an example where most recently, you know, someone was nervous, just got a job offer, was nervous to inquire or ask for more for their salary. And a friend said, oh, don't even ask. You don't want them to take back the job offer. And so, right. you know, a lot of people would, you know, not even go there, you know? And so what advice do you have for people that have a job offer or maybe are even at a current job, but know that they should be getting paid more? Like, how do you initiate that conversation with your boss?
And I love what you said there about, you know, you both took your career and your salary into your own hands. And I think that's really important for people to remember. You know, so often we think our boss or the company has all the power. And of course they do have power and there's a hierarchy, but you have power too. Because if you were crap at your job, they would fire you. If you were no good, they would sack you, right? Like most places are not charities. They're not keeping you on because they're nice people. They're keeping you on because you add value, because you're a great teacher, because you bill a lot of hours as a lawyer, because you do wonderful work on websites, whatever it is, right? You have power because you add value, right? So the first thing is to say, of course, you've got to be performing well, right? If you want to ask for a raise, you got to be doing great work. So if you're kind of having a rubbish year, it's a little tougher, but I'm going to assume you're all type A, incredibly impressive people because you listen to this awesome podcast. So you've got to be doing really cool work. Then what I want you to do is I want you to track that work. So I don't know about you both, but I can't tell you what I had for lunch on Sunday, right? Let alone what I did at work in April or October. Like it's a bit of a blur, right? Because we've got a lot going on. And so, you know, if that's the case, if I can't remember what I ate a couple of days ago, it's really tough for you to be expected to remember the cool stuff and the impactful work you did 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, right? So if you don't remember it, did it even happen, right? If your boss doesn't know about it, did it even happen? So you got to write it down. Right. And so that's a big part of the reason why we built the Pep Talker app, because I want you to be able to track that easily. So it literally will just send you a prompt. It'll be like, what's up, RJ? Hey, Angie, what are you really proud of this week? And you can be like, well, I signed on a new client, or, you know, I built this new product for the website or whatever it is. Or here's a photo of an event, a virtual event that I arranged for the business. So you can kind of upload those pieces of data so that when you go and have a conversation, you're not just saying, hey, can I please have a raise? Like, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's much more powerful if you say, hey, can I please have a raise? Here's why. Because I've contributed an increase of 4% to our sales this year because I've hired 3 new team members and they're doing an amazing job. And because, you know, I had this amazing piece of feedback from the CFO who said that I'm invaluable to the team. Those are the reasons why I really believe that I'm worthy of a 6% pay raise this year. You can see how when you've got meat on the bone and some data and percentages and dollar signs to kind of put forward, it's then a lot harder for your boss to say no. They might say no, and we can talk about some strategies if they say no in a little bit. But if you've got data and you've got metrics, it just makes you be perceived in a much better light, right? So you need to be asking for a raise every year as well. That's the other thing. And of course, you know, economic times will fluctuate and sometimes there is no more money. If you've been working in the travel industry recently, really tough, right, to ask for a raise because it's been a really tough few years. So we need to take all of those things into account and contextualize it, right? But at the same time, maybe you're now doing 3 people's job because they've laid off so many people on your team. So you need to have the, I guess, like the evidence almost. You're kind of doing a bit of detective work before you get in there. You're sort of collating all of the clues and how they relate to you and your amazing work. And you're putting forward a really strong case so that it's really hard for your boss to then say no.
I really love that, right? Because like so often, your boss isn't always going to remember, right? The great things that you do.
If we can really remember
what we ate last Tuesday, what, you know, great accomplishment we had a year ago, how is our boss even going to keep that top of mind? So I love the advice of just tracking it. And I love that the Pep Talker app actually has, you know, ways for you to actually track your successes because that's so important, you know? And then it reminds me of like the performance review that every employee has to do. Mm-hmm. And so even keeping track throughout the year of all of the wins that you've had in your job and even using that for your performance review.
Totally. And to your point, Angie, you know, like bosses are busy. And I think sometimes, you know, we don't always put ourselves in our boss's shoes. And actually putting ourselves in their shoes is a really helpful way to approach it when you're doing the preparation. So I don't suggest you just decide, oh, I'm going to ask for a raise today and wander in. You really do have to prepare. Now, that's not sexy advice. I get it, right? But you really do have to put in the time to prepare. If you're asking for $100 extra throughout the year, okay, maybe you don't need to prepare so much. If you're going in saying, I want an extra $4,000, $8,000, $20,000, you better put in the preparation time required so that you can justify that to your boss, right? Your boss could be managing 30 people. They could be going through a divorce. Who knows what's going on in their life, right? So you've got to make it really easy for them to make the case up the food chain if they have to within the business as well. You know, I always say to people, even, and the app lets you do this, right? The Pep Talker app, even print things out, walk into the meeting with pieces of paper. Even if you're on a Zoom meeting, have pieces of paper there because it gives a visual clue. Whoa, this person's really prepared. They've done their homework. I better listen and I better listen hard, right? So being aware as well of what's important to your boss. How can you make your boss look good? How did you make your boss look good? Do they care about revenue? Do they care about staff turnover? Do they care about social media impressions? What's important to them? And then speak their language, right? When you're requesting the raise.
You made a really good point because again, your boss has a lot on their shoulders too, right?
Yeah.
Like they have a lot personal and professionally. And then I love what you said that, you know, come with the data so that they can go to their boss and make the case for you. Because oftentimes it's not just the decision just doesn't sit on them. They have to go to the higher ups and make the case for you. So if you arm them with all of the data that they need to show that you are a wonderful employee, then that's just going to make them look good and you look good.
Yeah. And one thing I want to add to that, you know, if it's a scenario like that, and you know that your boss's boss is the one that ultimately makes the decision, make sure you have some sort of a relationship with that person. And it doesn't have to be the best, but make sure they know who you are.
And you know, this is so true. And like life is about relationships, you know, and we hear this, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And again, I'm not saying it's fair, but that's true, right? If your boss or your boss's boss really likes you, if they know who you are, if they're aware of your achievements and your impressive behavior within the team, that's only going to help you, right? And people love to do business with people that they like, right? You don't have to be their best friend, but you want to have a relationship so that there's mutual respect there, right? And so that they're really aware of the stuff that you're doing. And it can be really hard if you're introverted or if you're junior within a team. Sometimes you feel like you don't want to be inauthentic, kind of tooting your own horn, talking about all the great stuff that you've done, right? But you've got to find a way that's authentic to you to make sure that the people that matter, the people that decide who gets promoted and who gets paid, they have to know what you're doing, right? So, you know, I need you to be contributing in meetings, even if you just say, hey, how was everyone's weekend? You know, start with a baby step. If you don't feel like you can sort of contribute in a big way, say something because your voice needs to be heard. There's a concept that I like to share with our Pep Talker students. It's called the FYI only email. So FYI only email. So this is an email that you can send to your boss once a week or maybe every 2 weeks. And it's just, hey, hey, John, hey, Susan, hope you're well. Enjoy the basketball game on the weekend. Just wanted to let you know, this week I changed that graphic as requested. I spoke on that panel on behalf of the business. It went really, really well. And I've organized 3 podcasts for you to speak on next week. I'm super excited to be hosting some mates for a dinner party. Look forward to chatting again on Monday. Super casual. It's not like super hectic, like, hey, I'm amazing, look at me. But you're putting on the record, I did this, this, and this, and that's kind of awesome. So if you do that every couple of weeks, at the end of the year, you've been kind of putting in the groundwork for why you deserve that promotion and raise. If you do not talk to your boss, if they have no idea what you've done, if you've got no relationship, to your point, RJ, like, at the end of the year, when you ask for a raise, they'll be like, sorry, what? Who are you again? What have you been doing? You know, so staying top of mind. It's one of those things like it's kind of annoying to have to do that. And it's going to take you maybe 5 or 10 minutes to kind of to do that. Even if you just send your boss maybe a Slack message once every 2 weeks, checking in or something, you know, because not everyone is good at having regular performance reviews. So if your company's not good at that, put it in place for yourself. As Angie mentioned before, take the reins of your career. Don't sit around and wait for your boss to do it for you, because that you could be waiting a while. So if there's nothing regular in place, take the initiative. Say, hey, with your permission, I'd love to just pop a quarterly check-in for us to touch base 15 minutes once a quarter, just to kind of check in and make sure that everything's on track. Is that cool? If so, I'll talk to your assistant and we'll pop in a recurring invite. Super simple, you know? And most bosses would be like, actually, yeah, that'd be great. I'd forgotten. Thanks. So you want to be the one who's proactive and doing those solutions for them.
Exactly. No, to our listeners, we, RJ and I, cannot encourage you enough to just take the initiative in your career, in your finances, in every area of your life. I think what you said, Maggie, is so important, right? Like, again, going back to the point where our bosses usually have a whole bunch on their plate and we're not always top of mind to them. So like, we have to put ourselves in a position so that when those promotions come, when those raise discussions are talked about, that we do become top of mind to them. So I love the advice about just writing that FYI email, you know, letting them know the things that you're working on, and also just checking in on them too, seeing how they're doing and what they may have going on in their personal life. I love it.
So these are work smarter exercises that you have to do, because too often growing up, the way we were raised is like, keep your head down, work hard. In school, yes, it was like, mm-hmm, this message, but you really have to pick your head up to see what's going on, right? And I think it's very important that, you know, we mentioned it's not what you know, it's who you know, but I would take it a step further and say, it's who knows you, right? And
oh my gosh, yes.
That's where the change will start. And you start working smarter and then change starts to happen.
Yeah. That,
look, you just hit the nail on the head. And it's also, it's not even within your company, right? Like, it's who knows you within the business for sure. But also outside of that, who knows you in the industry? Who knows you from the people you went to school with or college? You know, like, so honestly, LinkedIn as well is such an underutilized platform. And I think there's so much opportunity for all of us to grow the awareness of who knows us. Because, you know, you might be in a great job and it's awesome, but like, what if someone knew you on LinkedIn or had seen the interesting content you were posting and came to you with a job offer, or came to you with a not-for-profit board position, or came to you and said, hey, could you be an advisor on this interesting new startup? Like, that is when you can get this exponential growth in your career and progression that, you know, you couldn't even dream of without those people who are in different spheres of influence kind of looking out for you as well.
So yes, absolutely. Definitely agree with that point. I think it's a good transition to actually, when you're going through the interview process, you get that job offer. And a lot of times it can be very scary or make you really anxious to ask for that extra money or extra benefit. Can you take us through some benefits or advice you have for those people?
Yes. So the first thing is, let's just put on the table the stress, anxiety, sweaty palms, red face that we all get when it comes to negotiation, right? So here's the thing. If you've ever babysat a child, if you've got kids, if you've got cute nephews like I do, kids know how to negotiate, right? If you say to them, I need you to clean your teeth, they'll say no. Okay, if I let you have this piece of chocolate, then will you clean your teeth? They'll say, maybe, right? So kids that, actually...
You know? That's our daughter. That is her. Yeah. Literally, gummies, chocolate. That's how we get her to do anything.
Right. And it's a compromise. It's finding what does she want? What do you want? What's the least path of resistance? Right. And so we actually all inherently do know how to negotiate, but sometimes we get in our head and we're like, I don't have a fancy MBA. I'm not a CEO. Or I don't know how to negotiate. Like, we just freak out about the concept of negotiating. But when we look at the definition, negotiation, actually from the dictionary's perspective, all it means is two parties coming together to reach an agreement. That's all it is, right? So I just want you to remember that. It's not a fight. It is not an argument. It's not like butting heads, you and your boss hating each other and having a screaming match. That's not what it is. It's your boss needs someone in this role. You need to be compensated really fairly and well for the work that you're doing because you're awesome and you're adding value and you know want to have a good life. So you just got to figure out what does the jigsaw puzzle look like to fit those two things together. So the first thing is demystifying that it is an argument and something stressful. Truly, it's actually not if we break it down. Okay, so that's the first thing. I just want to demystify that stress that we all have around negotiation. Now, here's the thing you can do to hack your brain, right? Because our brains work up a negotiation in our heads for whatever reason, because of the movies we've watched or the horror stories we've heard. So you can actually hack your brain a little bit. So before you go in to ask for a raise, I want you to do a practice negotiation. I want you to call up your BFF, your brother. I call my dad, you know, your cousin, like your work mentor who's always got your back, whoever it is. I want you to call them and say, hey, can we have 20 minutes on a Zoom call or the phone or grab a coffee? And we're just going to do some role play. Is that okay? So that's all you're going to do. You're going to ask someone to do practice with you. And then you're going to do a practice negotiation. You're going to practice three things. Your boss is either going to say, yes, you can have the raise, so we can practice that version. Or they're going to say, no, you can't have the raise, so we can practice how we're going to handle that and pivot that conversation. Or they'll say, maybe. They'll either say, I need to check, let me come back to you. I can't give you 5K, but I can give you 3. So we sort of build it up in our head as we don't know what's going to happen. It's so stressful, but you already know what's going to happen. Yes, no, or maybe. Those are the only options, really, assuming you've been performing well. Hopefully they're not going to fire you. I'm not even going to think about that option for this audience, right? So those are the options. So you can practice them with your buddy, right, ahead of time. That does a couple of things. It gets your brain to practice being in that situation. So your brain doesn't actually really recognize that this is a practice and a false situation. So what that means is when you go into the actual real deal conversation with your boss, you're going to be way less stressed and way less anxious because you've already practiced. So you've already got some neural pathways going on that are kind of used to this, that are going to be slightly less sweaty palms, slightly less red in the face or whatever the case may be for you, right? So you really do have to practice. And again, you know, we've said this before, but preparation's not sexy. It's not necessarily fun, but you got to do it. You got to get out your notepad. You got to write down yes, no, maybe, and plot it out. What could they say? What could you say in return? What are those things you've been tracking in the Pep Talker app? Write them down. What is the number that you want? That's the other thing, right? You need to be clear on what is the number because they might ask you. I always say to people, you want to think about your salary in terms of WWW, your wish, your want, and your walk. So wish is like, whoa, are you serious? I could never say that number out loud. I feel sick. That's so much money. Like, that's like a whoa, whoa number. Okay. Your walk number is the number where you're like, I am worth more than that. And do you know what? I'm either not going to accept the offer Or if you're already in a job, I'm going to start looking for something else. And then your want number is something in between. It's where you go, do you know what? This is actually a fair amount of compensation for the work that I'm doing. And I'd actually feel pretty happy to get out of bed and work for that number. So you got to have a sense in your head of what is your wish, your want, and your walk before you go in. And then if they offer you something that's higher than the wish, straight away, you know, you got to start sliding up, right? Or if they offer you something that's well below the walk, you can sort of, you know, grab that part of the conversation and say, hey, I think we just need to reset here. That's well below my expectations, just to be clear, right? It allows you to kind of better steer and navigate that conversation.
Yeah, no, I totally agree that there's so much value in practicing ahead of time. You know, like even like one of the things that we always encourage people to do is have informational interviews, right? Like yes. When they're, you know, before they go on an interview, like just have like an informational interview with people, get in the practice mm-hmm. of putting yourself out there and asking questions. But I love this too, where putting yourself out there with a friend and saying, hey, like I have these bullet points that I want to say to my boss to ask for a raise or a promotion. How does this sound? I think there's a lot of value in that and kind of can give you that courage because just doing a test run kind of helps relieve some of the anxiety.
Yeah, agreed. You know, a lot of times they say practice makes perfect, but I usually just say practice makes better, right? It gets you into a better situation. And I think that's really helpful. One of the things that I think would be helpful to answer is one of the most popular questions that people get in the start of the interview process. What are your salary expectations? How should someone answer that to make sure, you know, because a lot of times people could be scared that they say too high or they say too low. Yep. So how do you answer that correctly?
Okay, so this is a great question. So the first thing we want to do is you need to research what is the legislation where you live, because in certain states in America, it is illegal for employers to ask you what your previous salary was. Right. So in New York State, you cannot do that. And then there are other states that are changing their legislation too, right? Certain states, it is compulsory for them to actually advertise the job with a salary range, right? So you'll start to see that more and more and more in certain states. So do your research first so you can kind of understand that. If the question comes up, it depends, right? So it all comes back to, do you need the job? And so having a plan B or more than one option is a very powerful position to be in, because if you already love your job and if you're already pretty well paid and you're just doing the interview for practice and because you're kind of interested, you know, why not put your wish number out there, right? Like, because who cares? You're pretty happy where you are anyway. However, if you're in a situation and you don't know if maybe you'd be lowballing yourself, there's ways you can answer the question without answering the question, right? So these are some of the secrets of journalism that I'm going to kind of let you in on, some of the secrets. So if someone said to me, Meggie, what are your salary expectations? And if I truly had no idea, if I was like, listen, they could be paying me 80K or it could be 400, I don't know. I would say to them, hey, listen, you know, given the extensive experience that I've had and given the importance of this role, I would expect that the compensation would be in line of the seniority you're looking for this position. So I've answered the question and I've positioned myself as someone who's a bit of a baller, but I haven't actually given them a number. So you can say things like, I'd love to understand, what have you budgeted for this role? You know, I'd love to learn a little bit more about what's expected and what the KPIs are and the results that you want from this role so that I can better understand if I'm the right fit. And if so, what compensation would be fair and appropriate for this title? So again, you're sort of being solutions focused, saying, well, hey, I just want to know all the details so that I can firstly rule myself out if I'm not right. And then if I am, we can kind of continue the conversation from there. Right. So recruiters will often give you a range before you even get on the interview. Sometimes there is room to move even within what they've said, right? So it's a really tough one, isn't it? But again, write out your response beforehand if you want to. Like, go back and re-listen to this podcast and write some things down verbatim. Practice it and make it sound good for you, right? But there's ways you can answer the question without always putting forward a dollar number. If you do decide to put forward a dollar number, again, you can give a range. And you can say, listen, I'd need to learn more about the role, but I'd be looking for something between sort of the 80 to 100K mark. Or you can also say things like, this would need to be well north of six figures for me to consider taking the role. So six figures could mean 105, six figures could mean 199 or 200, right? Like, it's so you've got to come up with a phrase that works for you and feels good. and then practice it. Write it down if you have to. There's no shame in that.
Yeah. No, that's really great advice. And, you know, as we're speaking, like you've hit so many great points and you've shared a lot of great information that I think our listeners will be able to actually put into practice. But I want to like kind of just steer very briefly into our listeners have gotten the courage. They've, you know, put themselves out there. They practiced, they asked for the raise or the, you know, they're negotiating their promotion, but they hear no. Like what advice do you give to that person who took all the advice, but still hears the word no?
Yeah. And sometimes you're going to be told no, right? Sometimes there is no more money. Sometimes the company's doing really badly. And sometimes there's just not the budget. Sometimes it's just a line that they say to get rid of you, but sometimes it's true, right? So again, this comes back to the preparation. If they say, oh, listen, Maggie, thanks for asking, but no, you can't have a raise. Sorry. I could say, okay, thank you, no worries, and walk away. Or I could say, listen, I'd love to understand more behind your thinking about that decision. Because as we've discussed, I've really grown the business this year. I've added $30,000 to our revenue. You know, I've increased our productivity by 5% and I've reduced our costs by 3%. So I'd love to understand more about your decision. So put it back onto them to give you more info, because then you can improve or change your KPIs based on the feedback they give you. The other thing you can do is say, listen, I understand that there's no more money in the budget, or whatever they say, right? Depending on what the answer is. I'd love to know whether you'd be open to me taking an extra 5 days annual leave this year instead of a raise, right? So who doesn't love holidays? I love holidays. So maybe they can give you some extra annual leave. So think about non-monetary compensation benefits too. So I want you to maximize your cash and your bonus and your equity and your stocks 100%. But then think about what's really important to you. Listen, Joanne, would you be open to me working from home on a permanent basis every Friday going forward? Or I'd love to discuss with you whether I could start at midday on Wednesdays because I like to go and visit my grandma in the morning. Whatever it is, right? Like, could they give you a $500 stipend to, you know, do one of the Pep Talker programs, right? Or will they enroll you in an Adobe Illustrator course? So then you can put that on your resume and, you know, put it on your LinkedIn. Are they open to negotiating title? You know, maybe you're a director, but could they push you to senior director? Okay, there's no more money, but can you push me up in title? Okay, because that's got a benefit for you when recruiters are looking at your resume and your LinkedIn. So again, steer the ship yourself. Do that mental gymnastics ahead of time. Think about what else is important to you and have that conversation.
Wow, Maggie, this has been such an awesome episode. Such great advice for all of our listeners, even for us, you know, even as business owners, the power of networking and putting ourselves out there is even important if you own a business. So we're just so grateful that you came on and just had this conversation with us. So much value will be gained from what you shared. So for those who want to learn more about Pep Talker, about you, where can they connect with you?
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to chat. Well, listen, yeah, check out the free Pep Talker app. We're on Instagram, of course, Pep Talker, H-E-R. And also we have a free career challenge that we run twice a year. So check it out. It's free. It takes 5 minutes a day for 5 days. And I run a live coaching call with it too. So peptalker.com/challenge. And we, yeah, heaps of practical advice on how to know your worth, ask for it and get paid what you deserve. We would love to stay in touch. And let me know that you listen to this podcast. I'm such a fan of your work. I learn so much from every episode that I listen to. So thank you for the amazing work that you're both doing as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a blast and really enjoyed the conversation. So look forward to connecting soon.
I'm excited to hear about all of the raises the Rich by Intention community get in the next couple of months.
Yes, yes, yes. Money.
Promotion and raises. Let's go.
Yeah, we're here for it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. If you like what you heard, hit the subscribe button and leave a review. Follow us on Instagram @richbyintention for money tips and inspiration.